All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. I'm here with Shane and Brandon again. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing excellent now that I'm talking to you, Robert.
I'll tell you what, it's I gotta warm up my voice again because it's been forever, it feels like.
Yeah, we're gonna do this weekly from now on. So you guys are gonna get a lot of us here over the course of the next few months. Of course, it's getting ready for the season, but yeah, it does feel like a while. Before we actually get going, Brandon, you got your wisdom tooth taken out. Can you tell us that story? Because I also told my horrifying wisdom teeth story on this show, so I figured we'd make it two for two.
Yeah, and you know, lucky Shane doesn't have one, so
dude, I don't know how. It just
Yeah, I went into it, you know, a month ago, and I started getting soreness, or not soreness, I started getting sensitivity in my teeth, and I'm like, I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with my teeth, I take care of them, like, what the hell is the problem? And, you know, I didn't think, it's funny, I was like bragging towards the end of the season last year, oh, I never had to take my wisdom teeth out, huh, I guess I'm lucky, and then...
or the start of the season when I got mine out.
Yeah, I
guess they are shutting them out.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, I'm still not 100%, but I'm close. I'm like probably, you know, 80. Yeah, it
has but you're surviving. To me.
Yeah, I'm not deceased. I got them taken. I got one. I don't have to get one taken out. So I had to get all four. That would've been a nightmare. I'd still be recuperating in bed.
You have all four? Or, well, I guess it would be three now, but...
Well, no, I have three. I don't have a fourth one, so I only have three. Okay. And then, but I went in, was having sensitivity, and they were like, well, you've got three wisdom teeth. And I'm like, oh, well, the other two weren't bothering me, so I'm like, okay, that's whatever. They're like, oh, that one in the back is, like, ready to come out. Like, it's basically going to erupt. And I'm like, oh, okay. So... Could not find a good doctor in my plan. I had to call like 3 days. It took me like 3 days worth of calling around to figure out to find a doctor in my plan. They were like, oh yeah, you know, you're not in trouble with it. It's not like affecting anything. Yeah, but you might as well take it out sooner rather than later. So I'm like, okay, so fine. So, had a consultation last Tuesday and, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, you got three of them, just like my other dentist said, my general dentist, just like he said. And he was like, well, it's your choice. You can get rid of, you know, just that one. You can get rid of two of them, or you can get rid of all three. And I'm like, well, I'm like, the other two aren't affecting me. And he was telling me, he's like, the other two shouldn't affect you anyway, because you're low risk for a lot of different things with those teeth. And one of the, especially the one on the top right, that one is basically growing like a regular tooth. So he's like, that one's not going to bother you. He's like, that one's basically grown in already. He was like, yeah, I agree. I think that bottom left one has to come out, because that one definitely looks like it's going to cause trouble. So I was like, all right, fine, whatever, take it out. So I ended up getting the appointment for literally 2 days later on Thursday, which is last Thursday. And then pulled it out. It actually took a little bit. It took like a half hour to numb me, just because... I don't know why it took, usually for me to get numb, it only takes like 15, 20 minutes, but for some reason this took a half hour because it took a little longer to kick in. Good thing is I didn't feel anything. My dentist was pretty good. I definitely didn't feel it, you know, for like the first 2 hours once I came home. No sedation, nothing like that. I took it like a champ. Like, they just numbed me up and pulled it out. And didn't bother me, didn't hurt. So I was fully conscious the entire time. The pain, though, I couldn't go to sleep that night. That first night last Thursday, I could not go to sleep. I mean, it wasn't like painful, but it was just so sore. I was like, I can't fall asleep. It's too damn sore. Friday was the same thing. But basically since last Saturday, it's been getting better. And here we are now. There's no horror story behind it. It's just that it's the first two days are the roughest. And I had to learn that the hard way, obviously, but thank God it was only just one coming out. So once that one fully heals, which I mean, tomorrow will be a week, so it should, you know, but I still don't have like feeling in the left side of my face, but in my teeth. Jeez. Those are still numb because of the nerves. You know, that takes a little bit to come back. So we're getting there, but I'm about like probably like somewhere between 80 and like 85% right now. And then we'll see what happens. Probably by this weekend, I should be close to 100.
Are you eating solid foods?
Oh, yeah. Not on that side because it's still a little tender. It's still a little sore. But in terms of solid food, yeah, I'm eating, you know, not like a, like solid, not like super solid food. Like I'm not having a whole big ass pork chop, but like tonight I had chicken Alfredo for dinner.
Ooh, so nice.
I'm able to eat just fine. I've been able to eat fine since like Monday night, or at least yesterday. So I'm doing all right. I'm not bad.
Good, good. Shane, do you have anything over the last 2 weeks? Nothing, or nothing much?
Well, there's a lot, but, you know, I'm not going to go into it on here.
Yeah, yeah. How was Easter, yeah, though? You had some family get-togethers, you guys, anything?
Oh, yeah, we had, like, 15 people here. No, 14? I don't know. Anyways, enough. It was good. And it was pretty chill, you know. There wasn't really any, like, you know, sometimes at big family gatherings there's a little drama, but and not this time, so, you know, that was good. But yeah, what about you guys?
I mean, my Easter is next month, so my mom just made
eggs. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Orthodox is next month. Romanian Orthodox is in May, 5th, I think it is. But my mom made eggs. I had meatloaf. I watched Pacific Rim. That was my Easter Sunday. Brandon, what about you?
You know, same old. It sucks. My sister had to work, so so I get to see her. But I see her enough. My mom did come, though. My mom, oh my god, did I send you guys like the picture of my spread?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because that was when I was like really like hurting from the wisdom tooth, but I was still able to eat like the other stuff, just not the ham, which sucks, but I was able to eat the mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, all the greens, all that kind of stuff.
You love sweet potatoes?
Yeah. Damn, oh, nice. My grandfather makes everything. So, and on top of that, we had, he also made a, like an Alfredo style ziti. So I was eating good despite not being able to have anything super solid. I was still eating pretty damn good.
Not being able to eat.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Basically being not able to, you know, have human food. Yeah. But I, my mom also made cupcakes, so I was able to eat that. Like, I still, like, I took care of my mouth, but you're not going to stop me from eating the foods I want to eat. Like, if I can eat it, I'm going to eat it.
Well, you're lucky, because you have one side of your mouth that you can still tingly eat solid food if you're careful.
That's what I've been doing. I've been chewing on the one side, and then once the other side heals up, then I'll be totally fine. I just haven't been able to chew on that side at all yet. Like, not at all, but very, very lightly. And then, but the other side, yeah, the right side, yeah, it's fine. So I'm just chewing everything on that side and swallowing it. So I'm still eating. And then I'm just flushing it out with salt water afterwards. So I'm okay.
Good, good.
Oh, salt water.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right.
That's what you're going to do, though.
Yeah, no, that's salt water. It does work, but. It sucks. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of nasty, we had a nasty trade go down today in the NFL. Luckily, we had something of note. Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for a second round pick. Also going to the Texans is a fifth and the sixth rounder. Shane, does Houston have the best offense in the National Football League right now?
I Ooh, boy. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but it's up there. I mean, you know, if you look at what they've got, I don't think they're quite as good as Philly or offensively as Philly or San Fran or I was going to say maybe Miami, but I feel like, well, I don't know. That's debatable. But, you know, that's still like, what, top four or five? So, yeah, I think overall, though, it's very well-rounded. You know, that was, I think, really last year, they got their guy at quarterback. The offensive line is pretty solid. I mean, it's not amazing, but it works. It's fine. But the biggest thing, you know, they got Joe Mixon, who is a very underrated back, in my opinion. And he's past his prime now for sure, but he's still a good veteran presence to have in the backfield. Get him in the rotation. And then, you know, I think the one thing that they were really missing last season was a true, like, dominant number one receiver. And, yeah, Diggs is 30, so he's going to be slowing down. But I think in my opinion, he's still a top five receiver in the league. I think he's still got a couple good years out of him. You know, so not to mention this team is very young. And so just adding that veteran experience with a guy like him is very helpful. And, they didn't exactly have to give up a ton to get him, which was kind of surprising, but again, his age, I get it. So, I think they're definitely, I don't know if they're the best, but they're close.
And by the way, those picks are all in 2025. Brandon, your thoughts on the trade for Houston's side? Of course, this team having a young quarterback going all in.
I mean, you know, anytime you can add a number one like Stephon Diggs, who is still a top five receiver in this league, anytime you can add his kind of caliber of a player to a roster that is young but basically shocked the world last year. And I mean, listen, Houston's going to use him better. Buffalo had no idea what they were doing with Stephon Diggs last year. No clue. It's like, how many times did we see a failed wide receiver screen to him? I'm used to that. That's what Philadelphia did.
You're going to talk about that all year until we get to September, are you?
Oh, you have no idea. but no, with Stephon Diggs, it might have been worse. Like, I mean, this is a guy that still had over 1,100 yards last year, but he wasn't given any really great place to execute. It was just, hey, Stephon, go down the field and try to catch this in double coverage. Or here, take this screen and go 15 yards. See if you can get that. But, you know, I mean, yeah, he's going to be over 30 now. Or he is the way he's 30, but he's going to be, you know, with the rest of this. Of his career, obviously going to be on the wrong side of 30, but still productive. He's going to be their number one. Him and Tank Dell are going to be great together. Nico Collins is still there. I mean, he's got a couple of drop issues, but he was very productive last year. I mean, he had a lot of big games for the Texans last year.
I think he's a solid three.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Mixon, we know what Joe Mixon is. The guy's a 1,000-yard rusher. He's done it behind a Bengals offensive line that hasn't been great. And I mean, now you're going to Houston. Houston's been pretty good so far. So his numbers should be a little bit, you know, everybody's numbers should just get better next season. The only way the Texans offense, I mean, forget their defense. We know what their defense can do. They added, you know, Danielle Hunter, you know, all that good stuff. But I just think that, I mean, unless the only thing stopping the Texans, it's almost like I feel like I'm going to talk about it from an Eagles standpoint. Like how I said, you know, for the past couple of years, the only thing that can stop the Eagles is themselves. I feel that way with the Texans right now. I'm like, the only thing that can stop them really is themselves. And it's like, you know, the only question mark is, oh, will CJ Stroud have a sophomore slump? I don't think he's built that way. I think he'll just continue to skyrocket. But we'll see what, I mean, that's still a long ways away. Yeah, we're not even at the draft yet, but the Texans are just, I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna say it's the best roster yet or the best offensive unit yet. Listen, I am biased, but I mean, even on paper, it's kind of true. The Eagles are better. San Fran is better. It just is what it is. But the Texans are easily top three and top five and can even be top three. And that's a great sign for such a young team with a young quarterback, with a newer, younger head coach. I mean, the sky's the limit for them. They can do no wrong, and they're really swinging for the fences this offseason. So I love what they're doing right now in Houston.
On the flip side of that, Buffalo loses their number one receiver, loses so much of their roster to the salary cap, and now you're looking at what, Josh Allen and who? I mean, is there a ceiling for Buffalo? Is the ceiling the AFC Championship game? Shane, what do you think?
I mean, they haven't been able to make an AFC Championship the last 3 years with all those guys. I don't know why they'd make one this year. I feel like Buffalo, their chance, and this might sound dramatic, but honestly, I think their chance to win the Super Bowl was this year. Because, yes, they had a rocky start to the season, but things picked up at the end of the year. They were looking really hot, and Kansas City seemed like they weren't as great this year, which they weren't for a majority of the season, but they won anyways because they don't care. I felt like if there was any year that Buffalo or anybody for that matter in the AFC was going to win, it would have been this year. And, well, they blew it. But, as of right now, I don't think Buffalo is even going to win the AFC East. Could they still be a wild card team? Potentially. You know, it depends on how things go for them in the draft and for, you know, other teams in the draft as well. But I don't know. I feel like they're maybe like sneaking in as a 6 or 7 seed. And, you know, maybe lucky to win a playoff game, but I'm not feeling too great beyond that.
Brandon, your thoughts?
You know, I don't want to say their window's closed. I don't believe in the whole window open, window closed thing. I'm like, anybody can win any given time. This is sports. Games are not played on paper. They're played, you know, in real life. But I mean, Buffalo, they didn't have Josh Allen. This is a full-on rebuild. This is what it feels like. You know, you're getting rid of all your – pretty much your best players of the past, you know, 6, 7 years, and you're saying, hey, it's time to move on. This ain't working. We're not working. It's time to shift gears here. And, listen, there's plenty of talented players in the draft that they can fill, you know, they can address those needs and fill those holes with. But I mean, this year, if you were going to be the Chiefs, like Shane said, it had to be this year. The Chiefs were so weak, and the fact that no one in the AFC could beat them was insane. The Bills, especially, with how they've been losing to Mahomes, you know, pretty much every year. You figured that this one was going to be the one where, you know, they take revenge. And that just didn't happen. You know, you lost to the Chiefs again, and you lost at home. And that's a game you should have won because the Chiefs were begging you to take that game from them and you couldn't do it. So it's, you know, Josh Allen's such a great quarterback. And so that you can never count them out because of what he can do. But man, if you do not help him out in the draft, or maybe get some sort of low end free agent just to be like a kind of a placeholder for next after this season, upcoming season, and get just a solid veteran, you know, whatever the case may be. Josh Allen can't do it all himself. This is gonna feel like Lamar Jackson doing it all himself for the Ravens the past, you know, forever. So,
before this year,
it's yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I look at the Bills and I'm just worried because the Jets got a lot of help. They got better. Miami's going to do what Miami does. I mean, can they win a playoff game? Probably not, because Miami doesn't do that. But
no.
But you know, but when it comes to that division, it's like you could all of a sudden go from what is it? Going from being first in the AFC East this year to being third next year,
barely second, so, barely making second.
Yeah, barely second. But you could realistically be looking at third, and that's a big drop. You know, going first to third.
What about the Patriots?
Yeah, no one cares.
No one
cares. I'm kidding.
Listen, I know my friend Eric's a Patriots fan. Bro, the things he tells me, by the way, are just so funny. Like today, he was so pissed watching Stephon Diggs go to Houston. He's like, bro, why can't we do that? I'm like, bro, you're in a rebuild. Your team's going to suck for the next 5 years at least. So be quiet.
You don't have your quarterback yet until like 3 weeks from now. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe. So, you know, I'm like, calm down. You had your 6 rings, knuckle cry in the corner. But when it, you know, but just when it comes to the Bills, it's tough to count them out because you can't. But man, they are really. It's like this is going to be. I think even with a good draft, I still think they're going to take a step back. They have to, based on what they've lost. Yeah.
They lost too much.
Yeah, that is just that you have way too many holes. You're not going to address all of them in the draft. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get back to an AFC Championship game. I think this is going to be, you know, and I feel bad for Bills fans. You know, you'll have the 4 straight Super Bowls. You couldn't win them. And then you had, what, every single year now you can't beat Patrick Mahomes, and now he basically broke your franchise. So I don't know what to say for Bills fans, man. I feel for you, but, man, I don't know if they're going to playoff game now with what they have or even what they do in the draft. Because you're going to have a lot of young guys come to the draft that have never been there before. Josh Allen has, but outside of him, not many of them have. So, I don't know. I think they could still win a playoff game because it's the Buffalo Bills. They can do that, but I don't think they get back to the AFC Championship game anytime soon.
What if this is totally, well, it's not totally unrelated, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, what if this continues and how long before Josh Allen says, I've had enough and requests a trade?
I think he likes Buffalo too much, but I don't know.
I'm not saying it would happen, but I'm just saying, like, could it?
I'm thinking it's probably going to be maybe 2 or 3 years.
Depends what they do in the draft, because they have especially some capital the next 2 years.
Yeah, he's 27, right? He'll be 28 in May. Yeah, I think by the time he's 30, if they're not going anywhere, he's done. He's done there.
Especially, like, if, you know, he keeps going out with Haley Steinfeld, you know, they live in New York together during the off season. I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe that happens and he's like, hey, Giants with old Ryan Giants. Hey.
No, bro. I don't want to play Josh Allen twice a year.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to play Josh Allen twice a year.
But considering the Giants are a poverty franchise, they'll probably be too stupid to realize that Dable's a great coach and fire him because they think it's his fault that they're not succeeding.
It's possible. But, it's possible that he goes to the Giants all because of her. But I mean, would he? I mean, listen, I know the Bills are kind of Dable. But I know the Bills are taking a step back. Would you really want to go to the Giants? Really?
I don't know where the Giants are right now. I don't know. And apparently the Giants are eyeing J.J. McCarthy. What a surprise. So we'll see.
That's what God. I want. So that way we can continue to beat up on little brother for the next 10 years.
That's hilarious. I don't know. I just still do not understand like why he's suddenly jumped way up.
Yeah, I know he had a good pro day, but it didn't look that great. I thought Penix had a better pro day.
He's got Zach Wilson written all over him.
Zach Wilson can make big plays.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, one of my friends was like, oh yeah, JJ McCarthy has an arm. I'm like, yeah, but he's not accurate. He has like, he can throw the ball like 60, 70 yards, but he's not accurate. It doesn't matter how far you can throw. If you can't hit a guy wide open down the field, it doesn't matter. And the thing is, he's not going to throw that many times a game. What's he going to throw 18, 20 times a game and hand the ball off another 40? Like, come on, man. Get real. He's not a good quarterback. He's a game manager. I think he can game manage well. That's about it.
Yeah, no. I just see Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy though. I think Brock Purdy is going to be much better and have a much better career than I think JJ will, to be fair. I still have a lot of Brock Purdy stock, I'm going to be honest. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, though, I was the first guy on that before it was cool to like Purdy. After his first start, everyone was like, oh, Niners are going to be trash. I was like, I see something here. And everyone was like, ah. Yeah, well, screw you, everyone.
All right. Are you guys ready to be, I guess, dumbified, confusified, stupefied?
Dumbified. Okay, I'm always ready for that.
I'm going to read you the hip drop tackle rule change. Please explain it to me.
Jesus.
Is this the new game?
No, it is not. I'm going to do a new segment later in the show, but I'm going to do that later. This is not the new game. Hip drop tackle. I'm just going to read it. So, Rule 12, Section 2, adding Article 18. Article 18, hip drop tackle. This is per NFL and CBS. It is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner down to the ground. A, grabs the runner with both his hands and wraps the runner with both arms. And B, unweights himself by swirling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. Penalty for a hip drop tackle, loss of 15 yards and an automatic first down. Effect, eliminates a potential dangerous tackling technique. Reason, player safety. Someone care to explain that?
We're in the rule book.
It's just, that's so oddly specific.
What does that mean? Is that just a tackle? Is it the fact that he's turning?
But that's all that it is. Like, you're just banning tackling. That's how you tackle someone from behind. You don't just grab them and give them a bear hug and say, I love you, bro, and just go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Like, choke them out on the field. You tackle from behind by grabbing them and they just falling to the ground.
And swirling them, turning them.
Like, that is a tackle. What are we doing here? Like, so if Derrick Henry is coming at me, right? Am I supposed to put my hand up and say, no, stop, bad? Like, no, go the other way, Derrick. Other way, Derrick. So this means what? Derrick Henry's going to go for 4,000 yards next year? Or Saquon Barkley's going to go for 3,000? Oh, listen, I would love if Saquon Barkley goes for 3,000. But you know what I mean? Like, how do you tackle front, especially if you're a lot, like, and they're like, oh, well, there's other ways to tackle. How? If I'm behind the guy and I'm trailing him, how else do I make a tackle from behind to stop a first down, a touchdown, a big gain? How else do I stop that?
Other than
doing that.
You know what I also found really hilarious was during the league meeting. So I thought it was in July. I think they're having another one in July, maybe. I forgot it was this early on in the process. But the comp, like, what was it? Some competition committee lead and like some referee association lead or something basically said that this is going to be difficult to enforce, but we're going to approve it anyway.
Yes.
Which I'm like, what does that mean?
And you know what the best part is?
Right,
too?
Yeah.
The best part is they didn't even ask the players' opinion on this. They just went ahead and voted for it anyway. It's like the players are the ones making the plays, and they wanted to keep it in the game because that's how you make a tackle from behind. And you didn't even ask the players about this. You didn't consult them about this.
The PA said a resounding no. Like, that was one of the biggest PA things during the meeting, was like the PA was like, no, this will never work. And they're just like, we are so concerned about player safety. And like, it was the way Mark Andrews got tackled and got hurt. I looked at that play and I'm like, that is the most routine tackle I've ever seen. It's just unfortunate he got hurt.
Like,
what are we doing here?
You could, like, Dre Greenlaw, basically what? He got his season ending, well, not season ending, it was game ending because it was the last game of the year. But Dre Greenlaw got a game ending injury off of just stepping onto the field. Like, you can get injured off of any single play at any time, not just in football, in sports, or in life. If I trip down my stairs, I'm going to get injured. Like, why are we so good? Like, I get player safety. If it's, like, you know, collisions with the helmet to helmet, things like that, that's different. This is a normal football play. Like, I don't understand the, like, player safety. So at this point, just wrap them in bubble wrap if you're so concerned. Or, you know what? Give them the damn flags. Let's play flag football. I'm sick of this crap now. I don't want to watch, you know, God forbid the Chiefs give. Now, you see how hard Isaiah Pacheco runs? Oh, my God. Can you imagine on a third and one? Oh, no, not third and one. Let's say third and short. And they decide to run the ball with him to try and you know, score a touchdown to win the game. Let's just say it's something stupid. Can you imagine tackling him from behind? The Chiefs get a win because of that? Because they're going to say, oh, 15-yard. First of all, but why is it also a 15-yard penalty, by the way? That is excessive.
I don't know. Dude, but here's my problem, though. I don't even know why. I don't even know how they can enforce the penalty. Like, are they going to say every tackle is a flag? Or are they only going to do it in certain situations? Like, what's the focus going to be here?
That tackle happens like 40% of the game. So every single time that tackle happens, flag, 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 flag. Like, my God, the game is already slowed down because refs can't make correct calls. So you're going to slow the game down even more because of a stupid specific call like this. Like, I hope that this is like a 1-year thing, like they did with challenging pass interference. I hope that this is another 1-year thing where they try it out and they see how stupid it is, doesn't work, and they get rid of it. Because if this lasts any longer than this season, I love football. I won't even watch anymore. And that's dead truth. I don't want to watch a final score of 100-95. Thank you very much.
Shane, your overall thoughts on the rule and what we discussed here?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that there are ways to bring guys down without doing that, but it's a lot more difficult and oftentimes just not realistic. And the other methods are much more dangerous for defensive players. So, you know, but offense sells tickets. Yeah, I think the thing that really bothers me most about it is that the actual Players Association had no say. You know, if we're making rules for their safety, why are we just, like, you know, disregarding what they think? I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's, I don't know. It, like Brandon said, it's hopefully, it's just going to be a one and done thing, because it's not going to end well. I mean, you know, if you just look at it from a logical perspective, there's going to be so much debate online about, or not even online, just in the broadcast. Oh, is that a hip drop? I don't know. Well, that should have been called. That shouldn't have, like.
I can see Tony Romo now.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my god!
But it's true though. So I don't know. I just think it's a joke, to be honest. I think the NFL was at its best, like in the early 2010s, as far as the rules and just the overall structure of the game. You know, it felt like a time when, you know, because early on in football, it was all defense and run game. And now it's all just pass game. But like the early 2010s really felt, and well, like 2000s as well, really felt like a time where both.
It felt more balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it felt like defense, running, and passing all mattered. And it was a nice, perfect, even 16-game schedule, not 17.
Yeah.
Which drives me crazy, but it's fine.
We're going to get 18 soon. That's coming in like a year or two.
Yeah.
So it's so funny we complain about CTE, but yeah, let's add another game, shall we?
Yeah, and player safety. Let's give him another chance to go out there and get hurt. Yeah.
More on that as well. We have the Christmas schedule out. They're doing Christmas games like Tuesday and Wednesday. They are testing to see if there's going to be viewership during the week. And then they're maybe going to bump it up to 20. Next step is 18, then 20.
20?
That's
God. Let's go for 25 while we're at it.
Actually, let's just copy MLB and make it 162.
at that point, we won't even be replacing players. We'll be hurt by week 30.
Oh my goodness.
Like, who's gonna play at that point?
Us, I guess.
No, not even. We'll be done. We'll be injured already.
We'll be injured. Oh my goodness.
We need to become commissioners of the NFL so that we can revert it back to the way it was in, like, you know, 08 to like 2015, again. You know, 2016, kind of in that area. Yeah.
Make the NFL great again.
Oh, Jesus. Is that the title of this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make football great again.
Jesus. Other approved playing rules. Stop me if you guys want to discuss any of them. Coaches make a third down replay challenge if either of the first two challenges are successful. So they have three now. Pretty much. This is also per Pro Football Talk. The offense can now be assessed a penalty for a major foul on a play where the offense throws an interception or loses a fumble, even if the foul took place before the change of possession, and the defense also committed a penalty on the play. So, kind of cancels out, but whatever. Replay can now be used to overturn a ruling that a quarterback was down or out of bounds before throwing a pass. I thought that was already in there, but I guess they're working on that more.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, yeah.
Replay can also be used to determine whether the game clock expired before the ball was snapped. I figured that these were just additives and more like saying they're going to focus on this more. Approved bylaws. Teams now have an unlimited number of designated for return transactions in the postseason. Thank God. the trade deadline has been moved to the Tuesday after week 9, not the Tuesday before. Do you guys like that?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I honestly think that's better. Each club may designate a maximum of 2 players for return when they are placed on injured reserve on the final roster cutdown day. Kind of just standard stuff. Teams may elevate a bona fide quarterback an unlimited number of times from its practice squad to its active list to be its emergency third quarterback. I think it was only like one designated guy, but now they can shift it around more. Approved resolutions. If an injured player is not traveling to an away game, teams must report the player has been ruled out before the team departs up for their road trip. Thank you. It's going to help us a lot in fantasy. For the preseason, the league will expand the use of Hawkeye video technology and coaches' boots in preparation for full implementation in 2025. Also, here's another thing about the hip drop tackle. Why don't we just test all of these rules during preseason?
Thank you.
And see if they work.
Thank you. But we're smart in the NFL, we're dumb in the NFL, thinks they know it all. Sure.
Boy, it's 3 games that don't really matter. Also, they did that with the kickoffs for extra points. They tested it out in the preseason the previous year, and they liked it, so they made it full the next season. Kickoff rules have changed to what it was in the XFL. Brandon, you'll have a lot on this because I know you watch some XFL and even the USFL. You can even talk about the USFL in this segment a little, what you've seen so far in that. I don't know how much of the UFL you've seen, Shane. Have you seen much of it?
None.
Yeah, not much. I'm not a big spring football guy. But first, explain how this kickoff rule works for people who don't understand it. Because I think I had you explain it once before when the XFL did it, and we both really liked it, so yeah. I'm glad the NFL is doing it.
So, it's I'm just going to keep it simple because there's like nuance to it. And obviously, the rule book is never exactly, there's always gray areas. But basically, what the UFL does now, well, the XFL, USFL, they merged, obviously. We know that. So what the UFL does is they have a kicker kick. Instead of kicking from the 35, they kick from the 20. So they kick from further back. And both teams line up in what's considered like a neutral zone, almost like if you would ever think of like if I can make like a war analogy, how you have like no man's land, so and then there's 2 trenches on the other side of no man's land. So basically, the two teams playing have to stay there.
They don't move. Positions. They're not running at each other. They just stay there.
Yeah. They have to stay there, and then they basically cannot move. And then the thing is also now there's more room for returns because you're kicking from the 20 instead of the 35. So there's going to be less touchbacks. There's less touchbacks than you in the UFL. And the returner, when he touches the ball, then everybody can move. So he gets basically a head start to run on the kickoff. So you're going to see an increase in big plays. You're going to see an increase in touchdowns. And it's just to keep the kickoff in the game because in the NFL, kickoffs basically don't matter anymore. They do. There's play. We always see big ones every year, big runs, big run backs, all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, 90% of the time, they don't matter. They're all touchbacks. So in order to keep that part of the game relevant and to show off, how talented these special team guys are, this is a good kickoff rule. You get to see like the gunners and the special teamers, make tackles. You get to see the returners show their speed and athleticism. You get to see the kickers now gonna be really tested, but the kickers, that's your last line of defense anyway. If the returners get into the level where the kicker is, it's a touchdown. So, unless your Pat actually just blowing guys up completely, yeah. His highlight tape is great. If anybody wants to watch that,
we had a 99 overall Pat McAfee linebacker card in Madden because of it this week. Lol.
Yeah. But basically, I don't know if the NFL is planning to kick off from the 20. Are they doing the same exact thing? Are they doing the same thing?
Let me check.
That's a great question.
Let's see.
Because obviously the UFL kicks off from the 20.
The kicker will kick the ball from its own 35. 10 of his teammates will line up on the other team's 40. The receiving team's 9 or 10 blockers will line up on their own 35. The kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that goes either out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded. The receiving team will be awarded the ball at the 40-yard line. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out at the team's 30.
Oh, okay.
The rule, they're bumping it up to the 30, yeah.
It should be the 20. That's so stupid.
Yeah, especially if you're going to leave kickoff. Like, if you're going to put kickoffs back in the game and make returners a part of the game again, either you should have left it where it was or moved it back to the 20. So it should have been 25 or 20. 30 is ridiculous. It's 20 yards from the 50. So if you literally just get down 25 yards, you're basically in field goal range. Well, but the fringe
do,
of the field
do you
goal
really,
range.
Do you really so, think there's going to be that many touchbacks, though? That's my question. I guess you think there's going to be touchbacks still.
Well, yeah, if you can. If you go out to the 30,
what I'm saying is
in the same spot, aren't you?
But the kicker's not going to be incentivized to kick it out of bounds. The kicker's going to basically. I think the whole point is to incentivize.
They might. I mean, the momentum will still carry.
Yeah, it's still going to happen.
I just let it roll back.
Like, that's – I don't like that at all. The 30, I would have been fine if they kept it at 25 or put it back at the 20. I don't like the 30 at all. I know, so, too, it's like, if you want the kickoffs to be part of the game, why are they still kicking from the 35? That means it'll still be a touchback anyway. So, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Really quick, they are trialing this year, so they might make some changes. This is not the full rule. This is a 1-year trial. So.
They're gonna have to, because the way the UFL does it is great. It actually decentivizes touchbacks. So they don't want kickers getting touchbacks because it tacks on 5 yards. So. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so I don't know. Like, that's going to be really wonky to see that. I mean, I'm a fan of it, but now that I hear the full details of it, I'm like, I don't like
the 30
that.
Is what I don't like.
Yeah, I don't like the 30. I'm fine with basically everything else. I do not like the 30-yard line for that. It should just be a regular touchback, pretty much.
Because Shane, what were you going to say when I... Sorry, Shane. What were you going to say when I interrupted? Go ahead.
This is what I was going to say. So good timing. Good. Did you guys notice, though, that when the kick returns stopped was when they moved the touchback from the 20 to the 25?
Yeah. Because they moved it up.
That was exactly when. Because they're like, oh, well. You know, before it was like, okay, I can get the ball. Let's see. I could probably get more than 20. And so then they're more incentivized. But now it's like, well, I'm probably not going to get more than 25, so I'm just going to let it go. You know? It's like, well, okay. So.
I mean, most of the kick returns, because of the way it's styled, most of those kick returns are going back to the, like, 40, 45-yard line. I mean, there's somewhere, especially if you have a fast special teams, you can still tackle the guy at the 25, 30-yard line. But a lot of these kickoffs are going to, like, the team is going to start with the ball, like, at like the 45-yard line, like, every other time, while teams get adjusted to this. So, you know, because this is really...
Yeah, what... I was just going to say the most confused coaches in the NFL this year are going to be special teams coordinators.
Oh, yeah. Now it's even more strategy. So it's like my God, it's like you're already trying to think of, oh, like, should we onside kick it, or do we have enough time to kick it deep, or do we sky kick it, do we spin kick it, what do we do here? It's like, no, now there's even more to it now. So
now if you do an onside kick, you have to tell the ref, and the ref will tell the other team. So the onside kick will never exist. So they're gonna have to change that.
So it's already like a negative 10% chance of it happening in the first place.
Because the other team already knows the play. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, what is it, like 9% chance?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. As is,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon, like any UFL stuff as well, Brandon, for you? Sorry about that. Any UFL interesting stuff over the past week as well as you continue that?
Well, I mean, if anybody was watching the Michigan game, the kicker made a 64-yarder.
That was his first kick since high school.
See that.
And yeah, it was the first kick. And I watched that live. My grandfather, I believe that was on Easter.
Yes.
So, like, I'm watching the game. My grandfather's, like, talking to my grandmother and mother about something. And I'm watching the game in my living room. And obviously, I'm still hurting because I'm still fresh off the wisdom tooth. So, I'm just watching the game. And I literally said to my, like, as they were lining up for this, I'm like, there's no way. If an NFL kicker misses this, like, 75% of the time, 80% of the time, whatever, or even more, I'm like, there's no way a UFL kicker is going to make this damn kick. And especially when they're like, oh, yeah, it's his first kick since high school. I'm like, oh, my God, this thing's going to go like 30 yards and die at the 20. And like, at first, I didn't think he got all of it. And then it just kept, like, it literally took off like a rocket off his foot. And I'm just like, oh, that's got a chance. And I'm watching it go through, and it splits. And the thing is, he didn't just barely make it. He had that thing cleared by about 5 yards. So he could have drilled that damn thing from close to 70. And I saw that going, and I was like, no freaking. I said to my grandfather, looks up and sees it go, like, just sees it going. He's like, did he make that kick? He's like, how far was that? It's like, that was 64, Pop. Like, that, like. I'm like, that was 64 and the guy's first kick since high school.
Nothing,
like,
crazy, yeah.
Like the balls on that guy. Jesus, man. Like, and the thing is, the balls on the coach to not throw a Hail Mary in that situation. Be like, yeah, we're gonna trust our kicker who has, like, pretty much no job experience. Like, that's like saying, hey, I'm forklift certified, but not really. Like, and you're trusting him to do the job, and he just does it. It's like,
oh my,
that's
God.
Insane. But the XFL, the UFL, believe it or not, if you actually watch the games, listen, they might not be as talented as the NFL guys. Some of them are actually pretty good, but there is a lot of former NFL guys in that thing. Some of the guys are returning from the previous leagues last year, so some of the names, like
Vic Beasley,
Vic Beasley's there. He plays for the Renegades. You've got Luis Perez, backup quarterback. He's been a backup, you know, a long time.
AJ McCarron again.
Yeah, AJ McCarron's there. I believe Darius Victor, who at one point was he a Giant?
I think Giant, right?
I think so. I don't know if he's still in the league this year, though. I think he is. But the point still stands. There's still a lot of guys out there. You know, some names obviously bigger than others. But so some of the guys do have plenty of NFL experience and talent.
Ben DiNucci. No, not anymore.
Oh, yeah. He was fun to watch, though, in these leagues, because he kind of had a lot of up and down games. But yeah, that, like, this stuff, you know, you might not get the like, you know, classic, like, you know, 35-31 kind of, like, final score kind of games, but you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a few games where it's going to be like, you know, 24-21, you know, 20-13, but, like, really good defense, and, like, the offense is having a decent day but just can't move the ball on a good defense. Like, you're going to get those kind of games. It's not bad. I wish more people would give it a chance. I mean, listen, I know people want to focus on baseball now and the MLS and all that stuff. It's the spring. I get it. But I love more sports. So whenever I get a chance to watch more sports, I will watch more sports. So especially you guys that I want to see that I know have talent that can be in the NFL, get a shot. So, and it's just good to see guys make plays at a little bit of a lesser level when you know, like Vic Beasley was a Pro Bowler and an All Pro. Like, you know, he can still make plays. Obviously, he's not as young as he was, but it's like guys like that that are still playing for the love of the game. It's fun. Same thing with the indoor football leagues that play. Those games are really fun. So, I mean, you know, the UFL is fun. I want to see more teams come out of this because right now they only took the best four from each league. So there's only still eight teams like there was in the previous leagues. But I want to see a Jersey team again. The Jersey teams we've had have played really well here. Jersey Generals and before them, the Guardians. So I want to see more of that. I want to see a Jersey team here because they usually have played well. I just want to see more football here in this area and not have to go to a Giants game to do it. It's because obviously I'm an Eagles fan. So I would love to go, you know, buy a $10 ticket and sit really close and watch a UFL game with a Jersey team in it eventually.
Yeah, they got, and by the way, everybody's still practicing in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool to see, it's cool to see some of the, and some of the members, some of the regular NFL guys and college guys are the ones calling the games and doing the kind of, the replay booth with Mike Pereira there. And, so they're kind of still doing, that kind of stuff. So it's cool to see those guys again, more than just the fall. It's cool to see them in the spring. Yeah. Kurt Menefee calls those games and he's really good at that. He brings a lot of excitement to these games. So it's fun. It's really fun. Brock Heward, I think, does the sideline reporting stuff for it.
They have guys in different positions. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I like it. It's really cool atmosphere. You know, it's still kind of the, you know, it's basically the Fox broadcast, you know, C team, but it's still but I mean, of course it is. It's the UFL, but it's worth it. It really is. And it's like, if you ever get bored and there's something on TV, you know, give that a shot. More people should. I like it a lot. So it's fun.
Yeah, it seems really interesting. I definitely got to check it out a bit more. But yeah, I like some of the new rule changes. I like the fact that there's not really there's like 2-point conversions and 3-point conversions and them kind of being creative and trying this stuff out too.
I also forgot they have the fourth down rule. Where if
they do, yes,
you go for it on fourth down to try to keep the ball, which I like too. I like that a lot. I wish the NFL would do that. The Eagles have proposed that over the past couple of years. I want that to happen. I would rather see a 4th and 12 to keep the ball than an onside kick.
Yeah, I think they're gonna look into that next season. I'll tell you that. I think very clearly they're gonna look into that. All right, are you guys ready for our new segment?
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it the Ultimate Series. We're going to go through each NFL position, and we're going to do this a bit more off the cuff, just because I know people are like, here's intangibles, here's this, here's that. I want to do it more off the cuff, so it's a little more fun. So we're going to do, for week one, for the first week, we're going to do build the ultimate quarterback. If you were to have your ideal quarterback, build your ideal quarterback. And there's a reason why I'm just springing it on to you guys. You guys don't think about it. I want you guys to think about it on the fly of like who you'd want like as your ultimate quarterback. You can use examples. You can kind of just go all over the place. I don't want to have like, you know, just here's and specific things. So you can just kind of have fun with it.
Does it got to be current?
You can do all time too. You can do all time too. Ooh. But like just off the cuff, build like your ultimate quarterback. You can go by, you know, these different categories if you want. You don't have to. Just have fun with it. Like
that kind of feels like cheating.
Shane, what? You said you feel like you're cheating?
No, all time feels like cheating.
maybe kind of. I don't. We can. If you guys want to do current, we can. I'm open to suggestions with how to change it. And then every week I'll surprise you guys with a position, so you guys won't know what it is ahead of time. But we're doing ultimate QB, and I'm giving you guys that assignment for today. Go ahead, guys, think through it and let me know kind of what springs to mind.
Okay. I mean, okay. I'm gonna. Let's see. So as far as like different attributes, I'm gonna go with, and I can pick. It's not like I have to. There's not a certain.
It's open ended. Like, just do your thing.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I'm gonna say arm strength. I'll go Patrick Mahomes. And I guess just like accuracy in general. The arm, Patrick Mahomes. I want Lamar Jackson's speed. See, I want Josh Allen's like size and strength. Let's see. I want Kyler Murray's scrambling ability, like in the pocket. And then I want Aaron Rodgers' IQ and decision making.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, and then I want Russell Wilson's wife. No, I'm kidding. yeah, that's probably for current guys. All time, I'd have to really think about that a lot more. But current guys, that's probably where I'm going.
Okay, I like that, Brandon. What is your thought for the ultimate quarterback?
I actually typed it all out because there were like three. The first three guys that came to mind for me was Josh Allen. I did a mix of all time and current. Josh Allen, Michael Vick, and Jalen Hurts. I want Josh Allen's arm. I want Michael Vick's legs and speed. And I want Jalen Hurts' strength and toughness.
Oh, yeah. And, can I have Jalen Hurts' toughness as well?
What do you want from Jalen Hurts?
Actually, wait. No. I want Josh Allen's size, but Jalen Hurts' strength and toughness. There we go.
Okay, cool. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so those were the three, and then as I was going down, I'm thinking of like other like just intangible things like IQ, their touch on the ball, their vision, how clutch they are. So I had six quick QBs that came to mind. So like I said, I want Josh Allen's arm because that guy can throw a freaking boulder 80 yards. I want Michael Vick's legs because Michael Vick Michael Vick did it in an era where you were still allowed to hit the quarterback. You know, I love Lamar Jackson, but Michael Vick did it in a much more physical era. It's the same reason why I picked Jordan over LeBron in basketball debates. I want, obviously, Hurts' strength and toughness. I don't have to say how tough my quarterback is. We all know it.
You want your tush push ability.
Well, yeah, but also, too, he's done it. He's the only quarterback I've seen it besides Josh Allen that has taken on two or three defenders at a time and either ran them over or juked them out of their shoes. And also he's taken some big hits and got right back up, and he's played through injury a lot. So he's as tough as they make him. And obviously with the touch push, he's the only one that can only quarterback that can do it consistently. So, I mean, Josh Allen could, but Josh Allen doesn't have the coach or the mindset to do it really consistently. But I was thinking about when you talk about IQ, I went back and forth. There was two guys I thought of. At first, I thought of Peyton Manning, and because Peyton Manning, especially nowadays too, he really breaks down a game really well from a quarterback's eyes. So Peyton's IQ has always been top notch, but I did end up picking Aaron Rodgers for both IQ and touch on the ball because Aaron Rodgers does both phenomenally. I want Mahomes' vision because he'll see a receiver coming across the field that I never saw on the replay and just throw back across the field, hit him in stride. So I want Mahomes' vision. And then I went even further and I said, you know, clutch factor. Well, who's the clutchest quarterback of all time? It's Tom Brady. So I want Tom Brady's clutch factor.
I want
Allen's arm, Vic's legs, Hurts' strength and toughness, Rodgers' IQ/touch, Mahomes' vision, and Brady's clutch factor.
Okay. I like both you guys' picks. Yeah, you want to make another amendment? Go for it.
No. Can I make the worst possible quarterback?
Okay, yeah, do the worst ones then. Go do it. Jesus Christ.
Okay. No. This one's good. So Kirk Cousins clutch gene.
Oh God.
Bryce Young's size. Bryce Young's size. Daniel Jones' decision making. Let's see, Zach Wilson's accuracy. And Philip Rivers' pullout game.
Oh no, man. I said I'm gonna have to add that into the cut of this. Jesus. Oh God, man. Brandon, you have any?
And Deshaun Watson's behavior.
Oh no. Oh, jeez.
I knew that was
true. Oh, my God.
And Aaron Rodgers' leadership.
Aaron Rodgers drinking Hibasca sauce or whatever the hell he has. Ayahuasca. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show for leadership.
God, yeah.
God.
And Russell Wilson's slogans. There you go.
There we go. Jesus.
Yes, city. Let's build.
Oh, God, that's so tough. Because coming up with the good attributes for a quarterback was easy. Coming up with the worst ones,
Jameis Winston's eyes.
stop taking everything I was trying to think of. Oh my God!
Patrick Mahomes' family.
Oh no, we're talking about their on-field stuff. Come on.
And I threw a jab at Philip Rivers for his off-field stuff, so.
Enough kids
and Deshaun Watson.
Football team and himself. Brandon, do you have any?
Oh God, I was thinking about it. You know what? I actually came up with five things. Although Shane named plenty of them, but
thank you.
But worst attributes, Kyler Murray's size, late stage Drew Brees' arm.
Oh,
yeah. So sad.
It gets better. Tom Brady's legs.
he's faster at 43 than he was at 23.
I mean, listen, he's the slowest quarterback, slowest mammal I've ever seen. Carson Wentz's leadership.
New Chiefs backup and, quarterback.
Yeah. And Jamarcus Russell's IQ.
Oh, Jesus.
So
he got a tape. There was nothing on it, and they asked him what was on the tape, and he said there was a bunch of plays on it.
Exactly. But yeah, Jamarcus Russell, his IQ astounding. So
and he made 4 years, $90 million guaranteed. Good.
Oh my God, bro! Like, you gotta be. Oh wait, and Deshaun Watson's attitude. Done.
Okay. That was not
worst quarterback.
That was not where I was expecting this segment to go, but there we go.
You know what's funny? I was going to put Nathan Peterman into that discussion, but I couldn't figure out where I wanted to put him because he sucks at everything. Honestly, the worst quarterback is just Nathan Peterman.
He's on NFL rosters, though, at the very least.
Yeah, I know, because some GM is dumb, deaf, and blind.
John Gruden.
So is it? Yeah, he's on NFL rosters, and so is Tim Boyle. So, you know.
Jesus. Yeah, Tim Boyle wasn't too bad from the time he.
Oh wait! I've got the great worst quarterback of all time. Any of the previous 20 Browns quarterbacks?
Jesus. Tim Couch, much? Jesus.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Of the last 20 Browns quarterbacks, is the only one who's had a successful career Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you count Joe Flacco.
I wouldn't count Flacco really necessarily. I guess you can.
Got a brief hint.
Oh. Besides DeMarcus Russell's IQ, I found another one. Just talking about Browns quarterbacks. Johnny Manziel's decision making. Yes.
Oh my God. Fan controlled football legend, Johnny Football. Oh my God.
Speaking of which, have you seen that interview that he did with Shannon Sharpe?
I need to watch that and the documentary. Because I haven't seen the Netflix documentary.
Really interesting. You can definitely tell he's matured quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of bad NFL players, did you guys see that Chase Claypool might be going to the CFL? I literally just got it like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. I saw that. I saw that earlier in the day. I saw it.
Okay, so from that we go to X2, X-Men United. What a great transition! Again, not how I was expecting that segment to go, but we're gonna do that week to week. I'm gonna surprise you guys with different positions every week, kind of put you guys on your toes there. X2, we did watch it like over a month back, I think. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. Next week we're gonna do First Class. Brandon, what are your thoughts on X2?
X2, I mean, you know how they always say like sequels don't live up to the first movies, but this one does. It's like bigger, badder, and damn near better in every way. Some moments are a little over the top, and you can see they had a little bit more room to work with, a little bit more of a budget to work with. You could see that. Obviously, the ending, you know, having Jean sacrifice herself for the better of the team is rough.
Spoilers.
Well,
spoilers for a movie that came out in 2003.
Yeah,
21 years ago.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, what are you doing? I like the you know, we get to see some of the other mutants that we come to know, you know, Rogue, Iceman, Pyro. But you know, we've seen some of them before, but you know,
we're gonna see Pyro in Deadpool. This is our first appearance of Pyro in our rewatches here.
So you get to see Colossus too.
With his awful muscle suit.
Yeah, God. it's you know, watching this, I'm trying to remember the character at this point. I know the X-Men, but you know, you have, I like how they kind of, especially from the first to the second one, it was only about a 3-year difference. Well, I mean, yeah, duh. But to see how much kind of the dynamic between Rogue and Wolverine change was interesting. It kind of picked up where I left off, and then by the end of it, it definitely was more of a different kind of relationship rather than more of like a high school crush kind of relationship for her. It was more of a like a father-daughter kind of thing. Even though in the comics that's not accurate, they actually didn't like each other in the comics. So, I mean, that was definitely done with liberties, you know, taken into account. But still, for a movie standpoint, I like how their relationship evolved. There was definitely more. There was more emotion in this one. Like the first one, kind of just set the stage for, hey, this is the X-Men. This is what they are. This is what they do. This is, you know the comics, all the yada yada. But this one was more of an actual like story behind it, which was nice. There's a reason why they say like, you know, X2 was kind of like the standard for, or at least from what I've heard and what I've seen, people always say like X2 was like the standard that every like superhero sequel should live, like it set the bar for everyone that came after it. So, and obviously because then Spider-Man 2 came out a year later. So, and obviously that was better than the original. But this was like the first one to really set the bar high. There's a lot of love about it. I love that it was, I believe this one was a little bit longer, wasn't it?
By like what, 10 or 20 minutes, I think.
Yeah. But that 10 or 20 minutes, you know, like just like the first movie, it doesn't feel like you're sitting there for a while watching this. You know, it's the pacing to me is really good. Just a lot about it is really cool. Is this the same one? No, it's not. Is it? Oh, I can't remember now. I'm trying to remember the facts in my head of these different movies. Brian Cox is a great actor. So to see him play Stryker is really cool. His performance, it's actually funny. I was going to mention this, and Wikipedia did it for me anyway. The reason why he was chose to play in this role was because they saw him, because if anybody has seen the movie Manhunter, he was the first person to play Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, and that's kind of where Brian Cox is really known from, even though he's done plenty of other movies before that and after that since then. But he's a great choice to be like one of the big villains in this movie, or like the main villain, outside of Magneto. But everybody in this movie, I mean, it's just like in the first movie, all-star cast. You can see that the first movie they were kind of feeling it out, but by this one they had really come into their own. The cast was really comfortable with each other. Chemistry was a lot better, obviously. So everything about this movie was just bigger, badder, better. Motion was ramped up. I like this a lot. I can't say enough about it. I'm trying to piece things together. I might have forgot a lot of things because I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that I kind of am trying to remember about the movie. That might be confusing with the first one. But this one, I mean, listen, this was great. I liked it more than the first. And rightfully so. So this, like, I don't remember what rating I gave the first movie, but this one is probably, it's not 9 out of 10. It's not, you know, it's not anything. It's not a cinematic masterpiece, but this is an 8 out of 10 for me, I think.
Yeah, I go 8. My biggest problem with this movie was Nightcrawler. He's just Morbius.
Yeah.
He's just Morbius.
Yeah.
He's like a main plot device, and he's weird and creepy and but I like the story. I like how it incorporates certain things from the comics. I like the ending where he's like, where it's like, kill the children, kill the humans, and he's using his son to like, Stryker's son is like being forced to like go into to the professor's mind, and I really enjoyed that. I love this movie. I'm really excited to get into First Class because like that's the movies I like connect with more than the original two. But this movie's great. This movie's I think if you want like a perfect representation of this cast, it is X2, very clearly. But yeah, this movie's great. Shane, your thoughts on X2?
This is a perfect example of taking a good first movie and expanding on what it did well, while also continuing to go further upon those themes and just, you know, excel much more, I guess. Because, you know, in this movie, it's like Brandon said, it takes itself a little more seriously, and it's, you know, and one way you do this is by having a villain, in this case Stryker, force protagonists, or really anybody for that matter, into difficult situations and making difficult decisions. You know, we see this with the team being so desperate that they decide to enlist the help of Magneto. And, you know, that's like one example of the kind of things that's like, oh, okay, well, you know, can we trust him? And, you know, the other thing with this movie is that it's, you know, like the first one, there are obviously a lot of characters, but everybody really feels like they're in the story for a reason, and not just as a plot device, but like as a person. yeah. And, you know, that's not always the case with these big movies, Justice League. but, you know, but that movie doesn't exist. Anyways, but it's definitely the case here. And, you know, I just think it's, it was really about as good of a follow-up for specifically what was set up in the first one as you could have had.
I'm also going to say this, yeah, really quick. This movie does a better job X-Men Origin Wolverine-ing than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes. That is very true. I was about to say, I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to say, I was like, I appreciated, you know, the deeper look into Logan, the person, or Wolverine, whatever you want to call him, James. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, the weapon of war that he always has been. And obviously Logan goes much further into that, but we'll talk about that when we get to it. But yeah, I'd also give it an 8 out of 10. I mean, I think there are definitely other X-Men movies that are better, two particularly. Two movies. And, you know, other team of movies, but considering its predecessor and the time it was made and what they were trying to do, I think it worked very well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely good. I'm really excited to get into our next era. We're going to compare the cast as well, with First Class and X2, and of course, once we get to Days of Future Past, we'll continue on that as well, which is going to be really exciting.
That's a perfect time to compare.
There is one cast member that does make a cameo in First Class. We know who it is.
Oh yes, and Shane, you have the big story on that when we get to it, because the story is, yeah, as funny as the cameo itself, and the cameo does get brought back up, obviously, in Days of Future Past, which we will get to. I will also next week begin the process of breaking up the X-Men timeline, talking about how shitty the continuity is. It's probably my favorite thing to do with these movies, so we'll start that next week. But anything else before we go, guys?
I don't think so.
I think we hit everything we needed to. I can't think of anything else unless, I don't know. We probably, we always think of something after the fact. So I don't even know.
Yeah, I think we are good for this week. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Brandon. And we'll see you guys next week for another episode of the podcast.
See ya.
Sounds good, boys. See you then.